I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
If you went to Holy Mass today, you heard this responsorial psalm. Who is the King of Glory? It is the Lord. Psalm 24, the Terry and Jesse Show. I'm on duty. Terry, what about you?
Jesse, I'm on duty today. I'm fired up because it's the blessing of throats with the candles, St. Blaise. We're going to have Mass tonight at 7:30 here at the chapel. And anybody who is in driving distance, you're welcome to join us for prayer. But today's program, Jess, again, we're hitting hard, but it's right with truth. We're not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. For example, pro-life Catholic leaders condemn the repeal of the Mexican City policy that President Biden is going to reverse President Trump's decision.
Yeah, he already did.
He did it. So here's my point. Now we're going to be spending money, not just in our country, but around the world to kill unborn babies. Hey, think about that when you vote last time. I mean, I'm just saying, why in the world
Buyer's
anybody...
Buyer's regret or what?
First, I call it Biden regret, not buyer's regret. Biden regret. I hope so. Number two, powerful Padre Pio words of advice when it comes to a pandemic. Remember, he had a pandemic in the Spanish influenza, and he was alive. Wait till you hear what he has to say on that. And an interesting comment, Jess. More Americans than people in other advanced economies say COVID-19 has strengthened their religious faith. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what it's happened to, I hope, more and more people, and to show that life is short and eternity is forever. So I'm hoping that. And also, I got a good news story about a Spanish cardinal in Europe. Wait till you hear what this man did with COVID-19. And he wasn't, and we're not talking about shutting churches down. We're not talking about not having marriages celebrated, not talking about funerals, just the opposite. But you're going to have to wait for that. But before we do all of it, Jess, let's get some soul food in our body.
Today's gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40.
Whoa.
Today's also known as around the world the feast of the presentation of the Lord.
Man.
It reads, when the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's part of the joyful mysteries. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. But a lot of Protestants say, see, Mary was a sinner. She offered these turtle doves. No, that's not what it says in the Bible. The reason you offer these two turtle doves, the Bible says, is because it's offered for the firstborn that opens the womb. It has nothing to do with a person being a sinner or not.
Right.
It's the firstborn son, the firstborn child of the mother. The Bible continues saying, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, that's Joseph and Our Lady, and brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. This, by the way, Simeon was a righteous man, and he was blessed at the end of his life to be able to see and hold the Messiah in his arms. And he offered him back to the Father. It continues, the child's father and mother, that's Joseph and Mary, were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That passage is where we get the devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows right there. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. If you want to know the role of a woman, especially as you get older, your children are leaving the house, maybe you're a widow at this point. If you want to know what you should do for the rest of your life, there's the passage right there. Women should spend the rest of their life praying and fasting. This is called supplication prayer or prayers of petition. And this is a beautiful example of how a woman should end her life because her prayers are very powerful. You can see many instances where God looks at women supplicating and making petition and God grants them their request. It says, when they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And then finally ends, it says, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. By the way, that last sentence is not a reference to the divinity of Christ. Christ is perfect in his divinity. He knows everything. That's a reference to the humanity of Christ. Terry?
Yes, so easy. And you know, so clear what you just said. And I think that some of the theologians with PhDs need to hear you. Brother, I want to also, before we bring the smartest guy in the room, I got a lot of calls yesterday about the interview with Dr. Moy from the John Paul II Medical Institute research on COVID-19 and the vaccine. I want everybody to know that it's podcast. You can hear it again by going to our YouTube channel or on our app. So check that out. Also, I want to remind everybody that they can still get the copies of the Spiritual Warfare Conference on our website. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can get that with a small donation. Hey, Jess, I want to bring the smartest guy in the room, but there's a passenger on. Hey, full sheen ahead. Here's what we got. Let me just put the headset on. This other one on. Bishop Sheen has a friend, and it's Mother Teresa. She's one of the great people that they both lived at the same time. And Bishop Sheen said, no, Mother, I like what you said about love. Bishop Sheen says, if one loves, everything is easy. And if one doesn't love, everything is hard. Okay? And my mother says it differently. She says, intense love does not measure. It just gives. How intense is your love, Terry Barber, Jesse Romero? See, that's the question. That's part of my examination of conscience. Am I putting my energy towards godly things? Or am I going, no, I just want to have a real comfortable life because, you know what, I like eating. I like having, you know, pleasure. Well, you pay a price at the end, that's all. So I just say Mother Teresa and Bishop Sheen were having a conversation about true love. So there you go, Jess.
Terry, a reminder that the month of February in the Catholic faith around the world is devoted to the Passion of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about the movie The Passion of the Christ if you want to know what the Passion is, the last 18 hours of our Lord. And so sometime during the month of February, consider going to do the Stations of the Cross on your own inside of a church. What I'm doing for the entire month of February is I'm praying every day the Seven Sorrows Rosary, or it's called the Dolorosary.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that for the entire month. Or if you just have a real devotion to the Rosary, pray the Sorrowful Mysteries all month, every single day. And I'll tell you, when you look at what Jesus Christ did for us, it makes it easy for you in your morning offering to offer your body to Jesus Christ as well for your salvation and for the salvation of others. So, again, don't forget your morning offering every day, especially in the month of February, as you look at what Christ did for us in his Passion. Ask God to take your sufferings every single day, all the little inconveniences and penances, and to offer it back to him on the cross so that he can take your sufferings and just share it with other people in the body of the Christ who need blessings, healing, liberation, and deliverance.
And Jesse, one other quick note. Pope John Paul II, St. Pope John Paul II, had in 2003 the Stations of the Cross. This was just a couple years before he passed on to eternity. And I have that meditation. It's on the internet if you just type it in. That meditation on the Stations of the Cross, outstanding. I'm doing it every day, and I'm getting so much out of the stations. And I want to mention, too, the people that come to church tonight for our Mass at 7:30, we have beautiful imagery in our chapel of the Stations of the Cross. They're almost 200 years old. I got them in Europe, and I think that they're just beautiful for the stations. Hey, Jess, I just had a good news story before we break. A Spanish cardinal orders more Masses, faith in God, and the COVID restrictions. He said, I also ask all the churches to be open all day, all night, with the Blessed Sacrament being exposed, that the faithful can be with the Lord. Jess, this is a Archbishop of Valencia, and it's in Spain. The Cardinal Lavarsa has urged the faithful in his diocese to deepen their faith in God during the COVID pandemic. You notice he's not saying, put your mask on, start socializing. No, he's saying, have a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I just want to say thank you, Cardinal, because that's what a shepherd should do. It's not scare us, but lead us to Christ, because we need trust in God more than man. And I think he just, by example, gave that to us. So thank you very much, Cardinal.
Absolutely. And by the way, as Catholics, let's remember, I just have to remind people all day long that our days are numbered. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Read it, verses 24 and following.
Oh, yeah.
There's not one thing you can do, washing your hands, putting a mask, double mask. There's not one thing you can do to extend your life one day beyond what God has decreed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Live by faith, not by fear.
Amen. When I come back with Jess, I have a man. I met a man whose cause is up for beatification back in the 1980s. Yes, I met him. I knew he was a holy man. But wow, now his beatification's coming. You'll find out who that man is when we come back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jess, I made a teaser at the end of the break.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is Professor Jerome Lejeune. At the HLI conference in 1987, 88, and 89, I met him because I would record him. And he was the professor who discovered the cause of Down syndrome. Okay? So, I mean, he's a very famous man. But I remember so many people poo-pooing him when he would be preaching this, even at that time in the 1980s. Well, the Vatican, are you ready, folks? Pope Francis, in a decree, has opened his way to his beatification. By the virtue of papal decision, Jerome Lejeune was declared venerable after a lengthy investigation into his life and actions initiated in 2007, 13 years after his death on Easter Sunday. How would you like to die on Easter Sunday, Brother Jess?
Oh,
Jess, when I met him, I knew this guy was holy, man. Everybody did. But I never thought I would live to meet somebody whose beatification's coming our way. But I just wanted to stand up and say thank you, Professor Lejeune, for standing up for life. And Jesse, during the time of his life, he was poo-pooed by the world. But again, what does that tell you and I? So what if the world doesn't like us? They shouldn't like us, okay? That's a good sign you're doing something right. All right, Jess, let's continue.
Just want to add to this conversation that just because a person doesn't get canonized does not mean they're in heaven. For example, I'll give you two reasons. I don't think Venerable Fulton Sheen will ever be canonized officially by decree by the church because they hate him. He spoke out against communism.
Well, in our lifetime, Jesse, I'll say that.
But again, the point that I'm making, regardless what the church says, I think he's in heaven.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's interceded
on people's behalf.
That's so
facts.
Another person that I don't think will ever, her canonization will never be opened up, is Mother Angelica.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's my opinion. This is just my opinion.
Yeah, tell me.
I think she's with God.
Oh, yeah.
I think she is. What she's done for the church, she's done more than any bishop and cardinal in my lifetime.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're never going to open up a canon. St. Joan of Arc, by the way, was branded a heretic by the English bishops and a tribunal. Check that out. And now what do we call the heretic? We call her St. Joan of Arc. So all I'm just saying, Terry, is I hate to say it, but at this point, just because somebody dies, I'm not waiting for the Vatican to say they're in heaven. They're in heaven. I think Fulton Sheen's been in heaven for a long time.
Can I make one more comment to you, Jesse?
Yeah.
Here's one that's going to make me really politically incorrect. Archbishop Lefebvre, okay?
Yeah.
I believe that in centuries from now or 100 years from now, they're going to look back at that man as a holy man. I've read his life, okay?
Yeah.
I read his life. He loved the church more than anybody I've ever met. I read.
Yeah.
This guy did such great work. And now, I understand he was disobedient. In 1988, I remember the day I was with Alice von Hildebrand in Orange County with the day that they broke from that. And that was a bad thing to do, breaking from Rome. But I'm going to say something, Jess. When people look at history, they're going to see that Archbishop Lefebvre was right. Okay? That's what I'm saying, Jess.
I stand with you, by the way. Okay?
Okay. So I've never said that publicly.
We didn't even talk about that.
No!
And I agree with you.
But I've read all... Jesse, I study these things, and I'm going, man, this guy was a... I mean, he was a white father where his evangelization was like tops. He wanted to go out and convert the world. And you know what? I don't see that in the church right now. I see a bunch of politicians.
He had a zeal unlike most people see today.
That's why I say I think he's going to come down as a saint. Go ahead.
Yep. So let me just mention that the pro-life Catholic leaders, it's good to see that they're condemning the repeal of the Mexico City policy. We all knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. He said it.
The White House, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they not only planned to repeal the Mexico City policy, they did. So it's a fait accompli. This is the policy that prevents the use of tax dollars from your wallet from going to foreign organizations that perform or promote abortion. So the White House has already announced, it's already a done deal. Joe Biden repealed the policy basically the next day after he was in office. That was one of his executive actions on health care. And Gene Mancini, the president of the March for Life, called the announcement a deeply disturbing move as it took place on the evening of the March of Life. That was basically a slap in the face to all pro-lifers. And there was an all-virtual March for Life. It was held on January 29th. And this repeal, by the way, Joe Biden, who says, I'm going to be a unifier. That was the last thing that this executive order has done. It hasn't unified anybody because, in fact, if you want to be consistent with polling, the overwhelming majority of Americans, 77% of Americans in the Marist poll, which is, they say it's a very accurate poll. That's the one that a lot of people, you know, look at for accuracy. They say that 77% of Americans oppose taxpayer funding for abortion overseas. So, I mean, apparently Biden didn't care about 77% of Americans. Why? He's governing like a dictator. He's not governing like a unifier. Those words in his speech and his inauguration, that was simply hot air. He didn't intend to govern as a unifier, and that's pretty evident that he's over 20 executive orders in the first 2 weeks as the president of the United States.
I'm just going to add one thing. That 77% of Americans opposing taxpayer funding for abortion overseas. If we as a church, I'm going to say it, Jesse, right now, even Catholic radio, okay, Catholic radio, why weren't we promoting this and telling people before the election that Biden said he's going to do this? Why didn't we as a church say, look, you know, voting this way is going to be killing unborn babies with Biden? You know why, Jesse? Because we didn't want to be political. Tell that to the babies that are being murdered through abortion right now. I think it's a sin of omission that we as a church didn't speak up on this policy when the election was going to be taking place on the grounds that we can't get involved in politics. That you tell that to our Lord at your exit interview, and I think that ain't going to go very far, Jess. That's my only comment, because former President Donald Trump, he was saying that he would expand the Mexican City policy in 2017, which he did. All of his promises, we just stated he's going to stop funding abortions. He did that. I mean, we had the most pro-life president. Why we couldn't point that out a couple months ago or for the last 6 months as a church, I think it's because we just dropped the ball as a church, not being open about what was at stake here rather than being politically correct, not to say, well, we can't get political. That, to me, Jesse, is so weak that it makes me sick. Okay, I said it.
Yeah, and it's funny. When Catholics say, well, you know, the church has to shouldn't get involved in politics.
Yeah.
That, well, first of all, that's not a Catholic position.
Nope.
That's in fact, I'll read the New Catechism so somebody doesn't accuse me of quoting. Yeah. You're quoting the Council of Florence or the Council of Trent. No. Here's the New Catechism, mm-hmm. post-Vatican II. Here's what it says. Paragraph 2246, it says, it is a part of the church's mission to pass moral judgments,
right,
even in matters related to politics.
Yep.
I'll read it again. It is a part of the church's mission to pass moral judgments, even in matters related to politics. Paragraph 2246. It says the same thing in paragraph 2244. It says, the church invites political authorities to measure their judgments and decisions against the inspired truth about God and man. It says, since they do, this is powerful right here.
Yes.
Societies not recognizing this vision or rejecting it in the name of their independence from God are brought to seek their criteria and goal in themselves or to borrow from some ideology. Since they do not admit that no one can defend an objective criterion of good and evil, they arrogate to themselves, like Joe Biden, and Nancy, look at, they arrogate to themselves an explicit or implicit totalitarian power over man and his destiny, as history shows. So when you look at those two sections of the Catechism, 2244 and 2246, it says the church has the power to make judgments, moral judgments on politics and political issues when it deals with the welfare of men. Second, it says this, that when those people that are Catholic don't listen to the church on these issues, they become totalitarian powers. This is what we're seeing right now, Terry.
You nailed it, Jess. And in The Gospel of Life, 1995, by St. John Paul II, he talks about a tyrannical culture that allows for killing unborn babies. I would only say this, and I'm going to say it again. I feel like I'm getting really in trouble today, but that's okay, Jess. I'll take that to my grave. I want to stand up for the little ones. I believe that some of the reasons why we're not speaking up is because we get such great funding from the government, that these politicians are giving money back to the Catholic Church to fund Catholic charities. And, you know, we've done a show on this, Jess, so it's not like we haven't talked about the money, but follow the money. I believe that we're afraid to speak up because we might get our funding cut out. And I say, just like with YouTube now, Jess, we don't get a dime from YouTube. You know what happened? They were giving us trouble on our YouTube channel. So when I said, well, then forget about the commercials that they're going to give us a portion of the money back to us. They can keep their money. We're going to speak the truth as long as we can and not worry about the money because our listeners are willing to fund us. Let's forget about getting money from YouTube. If they want to control what we say and try and stop what we're doing, I'm sorry, we're not going to put up with that. So again, pro-life, we have to take it on the chin. I'll just give an example. Again, all of us, if we all stand up for the unborn babies, abortion wouldn't be legal. But because of silence, it's the law of the land.
I'll tell you what's more scandalous than anything else is that Joe Biden, he signs these executive orders that promote the culture of death and promote policies that go against the word of God. He does this by the main street with the mainstream media calling him constantly a devout Catholic. And in fact, his press secretary, as recent as last week, when they ask him a question about his policies that go against Catholic moral teaching, the only thing she'll say, oh, he's a devout Catholic. Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you a question. Why did he sign the Mexico City policy that goes against Catholic moral teaching? Oh, he's a devout Catholic. Next question. All she does is every time she's asked a question that he's doing something against Catholic moral teaching, All she does is simply, she won't answer. She goes, oh, he's a devout Catholic. That's already the mainstream media. That's their narrative that they're saying in every channel to deflect what you and I say.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's real scandalous is that he signs these executive orders that are anti-Catholic and anti-Christian with a rosary in his pocket.
Scandalous. Yeah, well, St. Pope Felix III said not to oppose errors, to approve it. So silence is consent. Hey, we've got people waiting online to call in. You want to call us at 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151 on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. We'll be back with more after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer, St. Padre Pio. Here's some information, and it doesn't surprise me that this is coming out every single day before I get to the Padre Pio article, which segues into this. LifeSite News just put out an article. It says at least 271 deaths, 9,845 adverse events in the United States after COVID vaccination so far. And this is from the CDC data. And they're probably playing with the numbers. It's probably a lot higher than that.
Oh, yeah.
But this is probably stuff that they can't hide. But the fact is, as all the doctors from America's frontline doctors say, many of them have lost their jobs, Terry. All of them say, don't quit. They say, quit calling this a vaccination or medication. This is experimental.
Exactly.
Nobody knows
at that stage
the end results of what's going to happen to those that take it after 6 months or a year. It's experimental. So this is an experimental injection that the government is asking us to take, funded by people like George Soros and Bill Gates. Here's something that I just thought about last night. One of the doctors from Frontline Doctors, American Frontline Doctors, again, a lot of these doctors have paid the ultimate price. They've lost their jobs because they're not drinking the Kool-Aid and they're not giving this to their patients. They're saying, I refuse to give this to my patient because we don't know the long-term effects. It's experimental.
Right.
We're supposed to experiment on animals for 10 years before we say this is safe for humans. And so my point is this, Terry. Communism is something that Our Lady of Fatima warned us about. And can you imagine if they force everybody, because the government can do this just by policy.
Yeah.
They can force all the military and all law enforcement to as part of their employment, they got to submit to government policies and Joe Biden's policies and take the vaccine. Think about this. Imagine this scenario. All of a sudden, overnight, all our armed forces and all our law enforcement are forced to take the vaccine, and within a week, they're all dead. Just think about that. In a week, there's nobody in the military and no cop on the street.
Without a shot fired, huh?
Huh. Interesting. And guess what? And to boot, they'd like to take our guns away.
Yep.
Do you see what the picture that...
Oh, yeah.
This is an end-time scenario, but I digress. Let's go to Padre Pio's powerful
word. Hey, before we go to Padre Pio, I want Peggy, who's been on hold for a while. And again, if people want to join in on the conversation, our toll-free number... What is our toll-free number? 888-526-2151? I think so. And... Peggy in Northern California, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, Peggy?
What's on my mind is that I have a very hard time getting to anybody because I'm in California. And I'm so grateful to be here today because I feel like I'm in a communist country already before Biden was put in there. So, I'm really... about abortion. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about the standing up for the unborn. You got it. Go ahead, Peggy.
Okay. Why do we have to go along with this? I mean, Sonia Mayor on the Supreme Court, when she came in, she had been an attorney for the drug cartel. And Obama talked about what an upstanding person she was. Mm-hmm. We have people like that on the Supreme Court. And then in California, they're shutting down all our small businesses constantly.
Right.
And people are losing all their jobs.
That's right.
And also, I want to say that with abortion, why do we have to obey any law that doesn't come from God?
Yeah, it's an unjust
law.
I think
we should just take down all those abortion clinics and say the heck with it. And if we do that, God's going to be so happy that we did it that I think he's going to take care of us.
Peggy, how young are you?
74.
I like the fire in your belly. I want to tell everybody to like us on YouTube. When you hear things like we're standing up for life, that's how our YouTube channel continues to grow. So just take a chance to like us. Peggy, I just want to say one last thing to you. Keep praying your rosary every day for the unborn. Keep standing up wherever you're at to speak up for the unborn, because we need more people to stand up for the unborn like yourself.
Okay? I've been out there on the street, believe me.
Good.
And I've had a lot of people clapping for us.
Good.
So you're not hearing the main concerns of California.
Got it.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
Thank you,
and
Peggy.
And I'm in Riverside, California.
Oh, you're just a local person. Great. Yeah. Thanks so much for calling in, Peggy.
God bless you both.
Yeah. Hey, before we go to Padre Pio, Jess, who I was at his canonization, one of our benefactors gave me a Padre Pio tie. I was thinking of giving it to Jess Romero. And then I said, no, let's raise a little money for Catholic Resource Center and Virgin Most Powerful. Anybody wants to make a donation, $50 or more, they'll get a tie that has Padre Pio on the tie. I don't know if you can get that at Walmart. I don't think you can. So he gave me a copy, one of our benefactors, and said, auction it off. So if anybody wants to give us a little donation, call 877-526-2151. I have the tie in my car. Oh, say that one more time.
Carlos from
Huntsville. Carlos, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I think I know Carlos. I see him in church.
Yeah.
Carlos,
yeah.
What's on your mind, brother?
How you doing?
Good,
hey, Jesse. So, yeah, just calling in just because basically you hit it right on the spot about what you just said about, you know, the vaccine, about, you know, how, you know, if they give it to the military, the police officers, now they want to take, you know, the guns away. You know, it's something that's been on my mind constantly. And recently, I know I spoke to Terry about it not that long ago. And, I told him that I've been trying to discern whether, you know, the move of, you know, getting out of here in California.
Right.
And possibly heading over to Texas.
Tyler.
Where it's out of Texas. Exactly. So I don't know if it's just me or my paranoia, or I mean, what would your feedback be on that? You know, just because I am seeing everything that's happening.
He's got a young family too, Jesse.
I met you on the spiritual warfare and with the boys, you know.
I would probably say if you have a young family, it's something that you definitely should consider doing. Now, some people are just they're just so like Terry, for example. He's got the chapel that he's having doing so much good for a lot of people out there. Terry can't leave. It's pretty obvious that the Lord wants him to stay there. But other people, if you're not tied down to, you know, New York or California, and you got a young family, if I were you, I would go to another red state in a red city. Some people can't go. Some people have like really good jobs in some of these blue states and in blue cities.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already, you know, been there for years and years. They can't, you know, they don't want to give up their pension, obviously. So they're going to have to stick it out. But if you can transfer over your skill set to another state, which is more family friendly, I wouldn't give it a second thought.
Yep.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely. That's something that we're considering. Just because, yeah, like you said, the job opportunities. I don't want to get into detail what I do or what I don't do.
Yeah, but, of course.
That's the biggest discernment there. Just the job factor, and you know, in these other red states, it's a little bit difficult to be able to do that transfer, but. We're praying and we're trying to make that discernment of if that's God's will or not. But yeah, it, like I said, you hit it right on the spot, Jesse, where, you know, it just seems things are getting out of control. And with the family,
it's not a coincidence.
We need to definitely consider, you know, just a different lifestyle and just a more conservative, you know, state for them as well.
I agree.
Carlos.
And that's what, yes.
No, I just want to say, I think you're speaking for a lot of families, brother. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, and I guess the plus is just knowing that they're, I mean, the bishop, you know, is also a conservative, and he's a well-rounded Catholic, and he would fight, and you know, you have the possibilities to fight in another state more than here, I guess, in California.
Yeah.
If that was a need, you know.
Yeah, we're outgunned here in California, really. But you know what? We keep shooting. Carlos, keep up the good work. Hope to see you at church again. Thank you for your call. Jesse, I wanted to say Padre Pio's powerful words of advice when a pandemic hit. What did he have to say, brother?
Yeah, Padre Pio, in his biography, yep. The True Story, published by Our Sunday Visitor, The Mystic's Response to the Worldwide Pandemic in His Day and Age, mm-hmm. back in 1918, where people were terrified that the world was going to end. And then there was all of a sudden turn of events. Here's what he said, quote, "By September, everyone in San Giovanni Rotondi seemed to be ill. The schools were closed, and what little commerce there was in town was brought to a halt. In the next couple of months, 200 people from a population of 10,000 would perish. Padre Pio's spiritual daughters came to him terrified, begging him to save them. Never fear, Padre Pio said, he assured Nina Campelli. Put yourself under the protection of the Virgin. Do not sin, and the sickness will not overcome you. Although some of the daughters fell ill, none of them died. Padre also responded to tragedy that surrounded him by offering himself as a victim for the world. St. Padre Pio had already offered himself as a victim for the cessation of the war. He also offered himself as a victim for the boys of the Seraphic College, of which he was now serving as principal. And on September 17th, he offered himself as a victim for the end of the influenza.
Wow.
Shortly thereafter, Padre Pio received the stigmata of the Lord, visible signs of Christ's passion on his body. Whatever may happen in our own lives, St. Padre Pio reminds us to trust in the Lord, not to fear, and to put ourselves under the protection of the Virgin Mary. Here's a powerful quote from Padre Pio. He says, quote, "Today's society does not pray. That is why it is falling apart."
One more time, Jesse. Today's society does not pray. That is why it is falling apart. Boy,
pray for us.
Pray for us, exactly.
Terry, coronavirus,
yeah.
Plandemic.
Yeah. Plandemic, I like it.
Yeah, it's a call to return to God. That's what it is. That's what our friend Dr. John Horvat says. It's simply a call for Catholics to return back to God. And let's realize, as St. Peter said in the Bible, this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, he said, "Flee this corrupt and wicked generation."
Wow. When we come back, we'll have more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. This is the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The month of February, focus on the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by praying the sorrowful mysteries every day, or praying the seven sorrows of Mary, of Our Lady. Terry, as we talk about more Americans than people in other advanced economies,
right,
say that this COVID-19, which is, I'll be honest with you, it bugs me saying that, but all the articles, it's actually called the Wuhan virus.
Well, call for what it is. Yeah,
it's a communist Chinese Wuhan virus,
right.
But political, even CNN and MSNBC, like the first month they were calling it the Wuhan virus, Chinese Wuhan. But then, of course,
China started
complaining to the network, saying, "Quit calling it that; makes us look bad." So the spin doctors here, the liberal progressives, started calling it COVID-19, but it's really called the Chinese Wuhan virus.
Yep.
I'm just reading an article, but that's all it says now, because they're following their masters in China.
Yep.
So it says this virus has strengthened religious faith. Nearly 3 in 10 U.S. adults say the outbreak has boosted their faith. About 4 in 10 say it has tightened their family bonds.
Yeah,
that's good news. It says this, coronavirus pandemic, again, Wuhan Chinese virus, continues to cause deaths and disrupt billions of lives globally, people may turn to religious groups, family, friends, coworkers, or other social networks for support. A Pew Research Center survey conducted in the summer of 2020 reveals that more Americans than people in other economically developed countries say the outbreak has bolstered their religious faith and the faith of their compatriots. Nearly 3 in 10 Americans, to me that's not enough, by the way.
No way.
Yeah, 28% report stronger personal faith because of the pandemic.
No.
And the same share think that the religious faith of Americans overall has strengthened, according to the survey of 14 economically developed countries. I don't know how much
I question that, Jesse. Yeah. Let me jump in and tell why I say I question it, bro. When people don't go to church to receive the sacraments, their faith is not going to grow. That's just how it is on my take. Now, I'm not questioning the people they talk to, but even 30%, that's nothing. That's when we only have about, 8% of the Catholics showing up for Sunday Mass, the faith is not going to grow. Hey, Brother Jess, let me just mention something. Scott's waiting in Orange County to talk to us, but I got a text from a lady who said, Terry and Jesse, I'm going to scold you. Okay, she's going to scold me. What are you going to scold me about?
Okay.
She says, President Biden is our president. Why don't you just support him? And my response to her, I'll say it right on the air, what I said. I'm not going to I'm going to support him with my prayers for him to be converted.
That's right.
I'm not going to support him when he starts funding killing unborn babies, getting them in line to kill them. I can't support that. So with all due respect, she's elderly. She's older than us, Jess, and I have respect for elderly women. But she's plain wrong. I'm not going to support Biden when he's killing unborn babies. That's unjust and it's wrong. All right, I had to say it.
When his executive orders go against Catholic teaching, I just quoted you the Catechism, 2244 and 2246. We don't obey unjust laws, and the church has the authority to get involved and politics and correct them when they go off the rails. He's gone off the rails immediately.
I get it. So I just wanted to respond to her on the air also.
Okay, good.
Hey, let's get Scott in Orange County. Scott, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Jesse and Terry, I like the spiritual warfare conference. It was really good.
Good.
Hey, I suggested a lot of other people, but hey, I was talking about it because you're saying people are leaving California, and my wife and I have talked about it, and then we talked to our kids because they're older.
Yeah.
And then we're older, so we're thinking, hey, we would want to go somewhere else. But we also talked about, too, what else got to be done, and we're talking to our kids about it. It's really important that parents, older parents talk to their adult children about what's going on, because a lot of them are not educated about communism and about socialism.
Yep.
And, going somewhere else is great, but we got to start teaching them, because, like you said, Fulton J. Sheen said, the ladies got to reclaim the church and our society. If not, what's going to happen? And Padre Pio, it's a good. He's like the patron saint of fighting communism and fighting. he's a good guy to go to. And I tell you something, we were talking about it because a lot of them don't know. There's a lot of older adults that don't know about communism. They either gotten complacent or something.
Yeah.
And they're confused about their faith and how we go into the public square with it. And so, we got to go on, but. Like you guys said, pray about it because evangelization comes in. And I really like what you guys are doing. You guys are really evangelizing out there, bringing the faith and then keep it up. But it's hard. And then you got to talk about it to our kids. If not, it's like the Hoover Institute poll came out about, is socialism better than capitalism? And 51% of Democrats said socialism is better than capitalism.
Yeah, that was the Hoover. I saw that.
Wow.
Scott, you're high information. You should call in more often, brother. I like you.
But also don't forget the 8% Republicans that believe it now.
That's right.
That's dangerous.
That's very dangerous. People are ignorant. We call it low information. So thank you for being a high information Catholic, Scott.
Thank you.
Hey, Scott, let me tell you more good news. Just the other day, one of our guys, we have confessions. As you know, this past year, we never closed our doors here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. And so, we have confessions. We have masses going on all through the pandemic. Just the other day, a guy calls me and says, hey, I need to get my marriage blessed because I want to become, you guys listening to Virgin Most Powerful. So I turned him on to a retired Catholic priest who's a canon lawyer. And, he got his marriage, they call it convalidated, because there was no previous marriages. He just needed a priest to witness his vows and before Almighty God. And so these are the things, unfortunately, they're not being done in local parishes, and they're coming here to get them done. So I just want to thank you. But also, Scott, I want to tell everybody this. And Jess doesn't even know this. My engineer said, Terry, you know that laptop you've had for like 8 years? Yeah. Well, it died. And the other one's dead, too. We need two new laptops, about $600. If somebody wants to pay for our laptops, I'll put the order in today if somebody calls up 877-526-2151 and says, we want for both of your studios, new laptops, unless you want to just send them our way. But I think that our people like what we're doing because we do have passion for the truth, and we will not compromise. So, Scott, yeah. Thanks for calling in. Keep up the good work out in Orange County, brother.
Thank you.
God love you. Jess?
Yeah, Terry will use the equipment until it breaks down. He's got stuff there for 20, 30 years. I'm saying, Terry, this stuff is 1980s equipment. Jess, but it still works. I've got to be frugal with people's money. So I can just tell you this. He is. Let me just mention one thing about this last article here. It's where it talks about. Here's one sentence that I think is well written. It says, wealth and education also play a role. In some countries, people with lower incomes and less education are somewhat more likely than others to say the pandemic has bolstered their religious faith. Well, this makes sense to me. I'll tell you why. Because a poor person in a third world country, they don't have the distractions that a young person has in an industrial developed country.
Yep.
Therefore, their faith in God is going to be more pure. It's going to be more genuine as well. And what does God say? In order to be saved, you have to have faith like a child. Matthew 18, verse 3. I think you'll find, generally speaking, is that people in third world countries that are simple and don't have all the advanced stuff that we have here, that Americans have, I think it's easier for them to embrace that childlike faith. Last thing I want to mention to the person that texts Terry.
Yeah.
I know some people tell us, Catholics, Catholic Christians, we should stay away or we should stay neutral on political issues. Or they'll say God doesn't care about political issues, or they'll say evangelism only matters in eternity. Well, guess what? If you hear that, that's a deception. You've been targeted by the devil because the subtle delusions that God doesn't care about politics, this is meant to shut down your influence on the direction of American life in this country. And the goal of Satan is to shut your mouth.
That's right.
To mute Christians by eliminating your viewpoint from the national discourse and to censor the biblical worldview from our culture. Well, guess what? Terry and myself, we will not be silent. We will continue to preach the gospel boldly, come what may. And Venerable Fulton Sheen actually says, when politics interferes with the church, the church does not judge such a philosophy, but when it does this, it is not interfering with politics, for such politics is no longer politics but theology. So when a state sets itself up as an absolute as God, like in socialism and communism, when it claims sovereignty over the soul, when it destroys freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, then the state has ceased to be political and has begun to be a counter-church. Fulton Sheen, Characters of the Passion.
Full Sheen ahead there, Jess. Hey, just remember, if you pray well, you'll live well. If you live well, you're going to die well. And if you die well, all will be well, in spite of COVID, the Wuhan virus. The point of it is, we're here to get out. Basically, we have a test. Maybe you get 60, 70, 80 years on this planet.
That's short.
Yeah, compared to all eternity? Are you kidding me? So I want to just encourage everyone to get the five stones of King David. Hit them, Jess.
Five stones of King David, 1 Samuel 17. Read the story. It's worth it. Pray your rosary every day from your heart.
Yep.
We're living right now in times of heresy, the heresy of modernism, Marxism, and Masonry.
Yep.
In the church, and Our Lady gave St. Dominic the rosary to defeat heresy. We have heresy in the church right now. Modernism, Marxism, and Masonry. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. Get involved in adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ in your parish. Number three, read your Bible every single day. And if you're depressed right now, you have anxiety, read Revelation chapter 19. That's the victory verse. That's the money verse right there. That shows you when Christ comes back and he opens up a can of you know what, okay? Number four, penance. As Catholics, Our Lady told Sister Sasagawa 2 days after the Pachamama idolatry, 2 days after Our Lady visits Sister Sasagawa, who she hadn't visited her since 1973. That's the apparition of Our Lady of Akita, Japan. So 2 days after the idolatry with the Pachamama idol, Our Lady tells Sister Sasagawa, tell everybody to start praying the penitential rosary. And number five, live in a state of grace. How? By going to confession at least once a month. If you're in mortal sin, don't wait. Go ASAP. Terry, take it away.
Up next is Bishop Joseph Strickland talking about Texas, Tyler, Texas. Once a week on Tuesdays, right after the Terry and Jesse show, he hits it hard. You want to see a true shepherd? Watch this show. If you can't see it, hear it on your radio station, go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio's website or our YouTube channel. You'll like it. You'll say, wow, I wish all the bishops in the America were like him. Yeah, he pays the price for his orthodoxy. I get to listen to him every week here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you, and thanks for supporting our ministry, especially those laptops that we're looking for. Call us, 888-526-2151. May God richly bless you, and you're in for a treat. Bishop Joseph Strickland up next on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.